solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on Hump Day, halfway to the weekend and a third of the way through the show. Listen, I've been in this first dipper here calling it the immigration Q&A and talking through some of the things that are out there, things we're learning, the sense of entitlement that apparently illegals have been gaining under the Biden-Harris administration and how there's really no expectation that it would get better if Harris was elected. But now let's kind of weed it down to the local level. I mentioned before we went to the break that just the other day, residents and lawmakers in Sylacauga got together for a town hall meeting. One of those guys that was in the meeting is a friend of mine, State Senator Lance Bell. Senator Lance Bell represents Alabama Senate District 11. He hails from St. Clair County himself. He's a practicing attorney. Don't hold that against him. He's also quite active in local politics, was a chair of the Republican Party in St. Clair County for a number of years. He and I actually went to law school together. So my buddy Lance Bell, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm good. Hey, so let me ask you, so your district, I know the lines have been drawn a little bit. Your district includes parts of Talladega County, I guess?
I've got the bulk of St. Clair, the majority of Talladega, and the bottom part of Shelby.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's some good ground right there. Yeah. All right. So Sylacauga has been kind of in the news, really in the national news. This is a weird dynamic. I mean, and I get it. We're not the first in the nation to have van loads of people dropped off, but you also look at it and go, small town Alabama, how did they know to come here and why did they come here and what did they expect to find when they got here? And you guys had a town hall. Tell us about that. How'd it go?
I think it went overall. The citizens just want to know the same questions. And we even went to McAllen, Texas last week, a group of us, and we still don't have those answers. We left there probably more frustrated, upset, and aggravated than we ever thought we would be because the federal government will not share information. They will not tell you much, but you look in the eyes of the Border Patrol agents and you will see people that are disgusted at what they're having to do. They do not like it. They don't like the policies that they're having to operate under. And you talk to some of them and they can't say much, but you can just tell they are very frustrated with their policies they're having to operate under right now.
Yeah. I mean, an unforgiving job. I mean, you sign up to be law enforcement and you wind up being a processor of mass people. And but all right. So let me ask you this: in terms of transparency, what results are y'all getting at all as state legislators and the state government, for that matter, trying to get answers from the feds? I know you said they don't like to share information, but I mean, there's some things you look at and go, "This is common sense. You got to tell us something." If we ask you a question like, "How'd they get here?" we should know that. Are they in parole status? Are they in a fully illegal status? What the heck?
I think most of them are in the parole status, but they did share just since the parole started, 530,000 Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans are in the United States.
530,000.
542 have attempted to come across. They have only kicked back 12,000, and talk about this vetting system. Well, the one thing that I think that stood out to me, there is no vetting system because these countries will not cooperate with the United States. So there's no system to run them through. They run them through the system we have here in the United States through our local law enforcement system, the NCIC, and nothing comes back. Of course, nothing comes back. So that's the vetting, which basically is there's no vetting.
Yeah. The vetting is there's no vetting. That's great. Well, so listen, let me ask you this. There's been a lot of talk about, and I saw one guy saying that how dare people ask questions that all we're seeing right now is the KKK wearing slacks. That's what they said. The guy said at some localized meeting. I don't think it was Sylacauga. I think it was in Athens, actually, that this is just the KKK wearing slacks. It may have been down in Fairhope, actually. But what was the tone from the locals the other night? Are they ready to burn a cross in somebody's yard, like they say?
No, it was not like that in Sylacauga. To me, I think it's more they showed up overnight. Where did they come from? What are they doing? The problem is you got children that have come here, never been to school. Well, you got some that are trying to go to school. Well, how does the school, they talk a different language.
Yeah.
So how does the school handle that? You got children, if you got a 12-year-old that comes here, has never had any schooling prior, and they show up at school, well, guess what? We have to accept them. Who's paying for their interpreter? Who's paying for all this? What's it doing to the class sizes that we have when you add somebody in that can't communicate with anybody? And, you know, I feel sorry for the children that are being brought here.
Yeah.
These people, once you saw what's happening at the border, these charities that are operating down there should be charged criminally for money laundering. And we should also, some of our government officials should be charged with human trafficking. These people are being human trafficked, and it's horrible what they're going through. It really changes your mindset.
Well, so let me ask you this. I saw in an article this morning, I think on 1819, also, yeah, I've got it right here. It says it attributes it to State Senator Chris Elliott, one of your colleagues from down South Alabama. But Chris Elliott, and I know that you and a couple of others are actually in dialogue right now to put together a multi-bill package to protect Alabamians from issues related to federal immigration policy. What kind of things would you anticipate that we could see in a potential legislative package?
Well, I think one main thing I'd like to see is, who are these sponsors that are bringing them here?
Yeah.
And create a registry. And if you are bringing people here under the parole system and you don't register with the state of Alabama, then that's a Class D felony. As we know, Class D felonies are kind of like a slap on the hand. But let's do some punishment. We want to know who you're bringing here, why you're bringing them, and we want to know if they've been vetted. It's our safety of our country and our citizens we're talking about. And when we're just bringing in 530,000, and that's 30,000 a month under this system. 30,000 a month are coming across. That's what they're processing. And they do a newsletter and tell you how many people are here and from what countries they're here from.
Yeah.
And every month they publish that. Usually it's the second week into the next month, they publish it. And that's where you get the numbers, is from Border Patrol themselves. But that's it. They don't tell you anything else.
Well,
we're going to meet Friday and come up with, we've got 8 or 9 things that we're looking at. We're going to meet with legislative services and kind of get an idea of what we can do. As you know, you were there for the Beeson-Hammond
Act,
and then the federal courts struck most of that down. So, but there may be some of that may be a better appetite today than it was back in 2011.
Yeah,
so we're going to figure it out and kind of go from there.
And let's be honest, it was Judge Myron Thompson who struck it down. I wouldn't call him the federal courts. I just think that we were stuck. We were stuck with the usual suspects who were going to make sure that anything has a conservative bent does not get a chance to see the light of day. But I really believe that some of what was struck down back then was during a different time with a different tone, and we were ahead of the game. I think some of that could be resurrected now. And then I think there's also things, brother, you can look at, like, hey, federal government, you're going to have to start ponying up some money for interpreters in schools, or hey, you know, and start putting some things back on. Like, for instance, if there's going to be a massive amount of money that's wired out of our state to foreign countries by people who are here on parole or illegal, then we should get a surtax on that and then use it to help fund the education environment and the law enforcement that's necessary to support some of this stuff.
Yes.
I mean, I see all kinds of ways y'all can tackle it, and I don't envy you, because I know that this was probably one of the most vitriolic things that I participated in during my 8 years in the Senate, was the illegal immigration bill called the Beeson-Hammond Act. And I mean, we had protesters, man, they were lining the hallways, elbowing us as we went down through the hall, trying to vote, trying to block us from moving around. It was ridiculous. I had to call security on them. But it's just part of it, man. And I hope you guys can put together a package.
We're going to try. I think I've got 10 things written down. Each of us have been working on it. And then we're going to meet Friday and kind of go through and figure out what we can do.
Hey, last question I got for you, too, on that local leadership in Sylacauga, which I know is, you know, been in question, the mayor, the city council. It was a city council president, Tiffany Nix, who really just rooted people out the first time. Has there been any change of tone from the city council and the city leadership now that the thing has begun to sort of mature a little bit as an issue?
I think there has. We've had conversations with some of them, and I think it is, they're frustrated. They don't know the answers. And I think if they could go back, they would probably change that evening. But I think it was more of, we're trying to find out the answers ourselves, and I think we're all in the same boat. They're getting stonewalled like we are from the federal government, and it's very frustrating. And that's how last night I opened it up. Look, I have more questions today than I had last week. We're not getting answers. So we're going to have to do what we can on our own. And if the federal court strikes it down, they strike it down, but we're going to try to do something.
I think that's the way to go, brother. And I look forward to hearing more about it. But in the meantime, thanks for making time for us today. All right.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. That's State Senator Lance Bell, represents District 11, hails out of the St. Clair County region, also represents Talladega and Shelby counties. And I agree. I mean, here he is. He's been down to the border twice. He's holding town halls about the issue, and he has no choice but to tell his constituents. One of the first things he says is, I have more questions today than I did last week. That's a mess right there. That's an absolute debacle. That's a complete disconnect between federal and state government. Absolute mess. And that's part of why I say leadership matters, and leadership sets the tone and the environment for things that happen. And the illegal immigration system, and even the illegal immigrants themselves, many of which are just feeling absolutely entitled right now, empowered right now. Because why? Because the leadership currently in place in the federal government is letting them feel that way. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come back, and I'll get some of y'all's text messages, and then we will jump to the next topic. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.